Miami Valley Music Cast, Episode 8.
You're listening to Miami Valley Music Cast with Rich Palmer, and this is Setting Up.
Can you believe it? Another episode of the Miami Valley Music Cast. We are at episode 8. Where has the time gone? I'm your host, Rich Palmer. I want to tell you about a couple of great changes to the Miami Valley Music Cast. First of all, if you would like to subscribe, you can now go to the address miamivalleymusiccast.com. That's right, a lot easier to remember, a lot easier to share with your friends. Please do so. If you have comments or information that you'd like to share with the show and you'd like to do that through voicemail, you can also call at 888-223-5108. Or if you prefer, you can call 206-202-BAND. That's right. BAND. Isn't that cool? The numbers are actually 2636 if you really care. We're going to feature the band Set to Numb. It's another metal day here on the Miami Valley Music Cast. Set to Numb out of Dayton, Ohio. You can catch them online at settonumb.com or also at myspace.com/settonumb. Here's their song, Bigot.
Day and age, now tell me how the Music Cast with your host, Rich Palmer.
One of the really great things about doing the Miami Valley Music Cast is the chance that I get to talk to band members. And I had a really great interview with Set to Numb. What you're going to find out from these guys is, and we talked about this in the interview, is don't close your doors. Don't put yourself in a situation where an opportunity may go away because you said something wrong or you made an enemy where you shouldn't have had an enemy. Because these guys all came from different groups. They crossed paths over the years, and about a year ago they came together as Set to Numb. They've grown, they've experienced really great songwriting abilities, they've developed a really good product in their music. As you can tell from Bigot, it's solid, it's tight, and they know what they're doing. I had a good time talking to these guys. Let's hear what happened. All right, well, we're talking to Set to Numb. And I have, do I have all four of you?
Yeah.
So I got Matt?
Yes.
Okay, Jay?
Yeah, I'm Jay Hayslip. I'm the drummer.
You're the drummer. Keeper of the beat.
The maker.
All right. Nick's here.
Nick Wheeler, bass extraordinaire.
Absolutely.
not near as good as Rich, but, you know, I try.
No way, man. I bow down. You do some good work. Tony?
Tony Watts, vocals, and cowbell and kazoo.
Yeah, finger pops and tin cans. Gotcha. All right, you guys are Set to Numb. How long have you guys been together as this group?
Not very long, really. We all just got together about a year ago, and we've been playing shows out since May of this year.
Spent some time, put an EP together.
Yeah, we're, you know, I think our best stuff is maybe just starting to come out.
Do you find that the longer you play, the more the creative juices are flowing for writing?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, when Tony came into the band, he had just kind of joined, and the three of us had been jamming, and we had really had some stuff going. The stuff that Tony kind of came in and put on vocals on that we had already had going, it's good, but the stuff we've been writing with the four of us is so much better. I mean, the chemistry's there.
Fantastic. It takes the whole group to make the sound.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, it was really neat for me coming in because these guys, just the three of them, already had, you know, probably, you know, six or seven songs written and recorded on a CD, and the very first day I showed up and even talked to them, they just flipped me a CD and, you know, said, here's our stuff, and so that really blew me away.
With no vocals, they didn't have any vocals on them. We just had rhythm tracks, you know, drum tracks, bass lines, and ideas.
Man, that's the way to do it, though. It was a true collaboration.
Tony got in a band, we went in the studio, and we recorded five songs, or actually eight songs, and we only put five on our disc, and plan on finish some of that up, but, you know, before we even played our first show, we had product in a can, you know, that we could, you know, people could take home with them, you know. So that was a little bit of the time before we got to our shows was, like Tony said, working on some of that stuff and writing material, and we went and recorded at Aztec with Ron Pease, and I think that's really, you know, a staple in our bringing people back is that we can give them something to take home.
Ron did a good job on this, which he usually does. It's real solid. The production's very tight.
I mean, we went in there, and he's got an ear for dialing in sound. I mean, we gave him an idea what we were looking for going in, and I swear my bass was dialed in like that.
That's the one thing I like about him, because it's so hard to record bass, and these guys tend to really overcompress, let you lose a lot of the drive. It's all there. It's all present. So many times when you take a hard sound, something that's got a little bit of energy, a little drive to it, it breaks up in the studio. For whatever reason, you just can't capture that live sound. It's a good EP. What I've heard of the three songs I've heard, it's really great.
Yeah, well, and especially when you're working with lower tunings, it's harder to get that nice, crisp sound, and he did a great job. Everything comes through.
What are you guys tuning to? Are you dropping to C?
We do some C-sharp tuning, and then we do some 7-string tuning where we do an AD-AD. It's the corn tuning.
Oh, yeah.
We play stuff on the 7-string and B also. It's a standard. So, A, B, C, C-sharp. We just learned a song we're going to do as a cover song, the System of a Down song, and that's going to be in C. So we're pretty much trying to get where Tony's, singing at. And as cover tunes, we've only worked on a handful because we wanted to work on originals. With the tunings, we played in all kinds of tunings. And ended up writing
pretty much 440 to A.
We change tunings pretty regularly between songs.
Are you carrying like a load of axes and putting them on stage, or how are you doing this?
I play two basses, and they're both 5-strings, and Maddie plays two guitars. And
going on three, right?
We're going to probably pick up a third guitar for that C-tuning.
Yeah.
Well, with the 5-string bass, it gives you some flexibility, too.
Really, I can go all over the place with those.
So really, in order to accommodate a lot of the music and a lot of the sounds that are out right now, you really do have to adjust and learn a lot more about the instrument, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, and it's not really a matter so much of accommodating what's out there, because we really only play a handful of cover songs. We just experiment with different tunings, and we find things in 7-string that's, you know, lower that we can't get with the 6. And so we, even just for our own purposes of stuff that we're trying to write, just kind of end up all over the place. Guys have to bring a couple of guitars to accommodate for it, but you get a lot of your inspiration that way too. Some of the lower string stuff has a heavier, kind of a darker sound, and takes a different direction just from the feeling that you get from that.
Everybody in the band has a different background in music they've learned, people they've played with, and situations. Like, you know, everybody's tired of the bullshit. You know, we're here, we're honest, you know, and we come to practice and we know what it takes, you know, to write a song, to really want to play. Kind of like that everybody does in this band. It's been more different than any band I've ever played in. And I think, you know, everybody in the band can vouch for that. You know, it's definitely a chemistry that, you know, is going to...
That goes back to what Nick was saying about the stuff we've been writing with the four of us is better than the stuff that me and Jay wrote, me and Jay and Nick wrote. You know, everybody brings a better color and more definition to the band, and at the same time giving us freedom to be artistic as musicians and not just tied into what's selling and things along that line. I feel that we have a lot more opportunity to be artistic in this band than any band or guys that I've played with before, because somebody had an idea of how we should be. And these guys are usually, how do you feel, you know, how does this make you feel, what does that do for you, you know, is it quality song, you know, are we liking it? We're not really worried about what a lot of people are putting label on it or not.
So you don't find yourself trying to fit into a cookie cutter mold, which always comes with the drama.
No, in fact, what's funny is that we've talked to some other bands that we've tried to play with, and we're a little too heavy for some of the mainstream bands, but we're not heavy enough for the hardcore bands. We're kind of on an island.
There's a marketing nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've been together for a year now, and it's like we're just now getting to the point where, for me personally, that I kind of feel like I'm coming out of my shell a little bit. Playing with these guys, it's like, you know, sometimes I get ideas in my head that are pretty goofy, you know, but the sillier stuff that I do, you know, or the more off-the-wall stuff that I do, the more they seem to like it. So I'm really kind of just now getting the feel for, you know, we can really do whatever we want here. It's pretty cool.
Well, ultimately, music is expression of emotion, and if we can't do that, then we're not going to create anything worth working with. That sounds like you guys are onto the right click here.
Oh, yeah, we allow each person to bring whatever they want and express it however they want, and I think that helps keep the music fresh, and you're not writing the same thing over and over.
Right.
Now, I do hear, though, when I go back and listen, I was listening to DTs earlier. When I listen to a song like that, I know... Matt and Jay played with, like, Lead Sled Dogs. I do hear some of the old sound there a little bit.
Yeah, DT's was one of the songs that I mentioned that Matt and Jay and Nick kind of already had pieced together when I came into it. So, I don't know, Matt, Jay, did you guys already...
That song actually was a song that Jay was messing around on a guitar when we had lost some people into Lead Sled Dogs, and me and Jay were still trying to put something together. You know, I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. Let me do something with that, you know. And, you know, so Jay really wrote the guitar part for the first half of that song, you know, and I just took and tweaked it a little bit, found a changeover to it. You know, when Nick got with us, me and Jay were just kind of holding on two songs that me and him had developed without the other guys, because there was a couple songs we considered taking from the Lead Sled Dogs that we had recorded and that never got played anywhere. That, you know, we had a couple, three or four, that never really developed, and me and Jay thought, well, since I wrote the song, or... since Jay had been a part of writing a song, we had planned on kind of taking them, but found that not taking them seems to be really working out for us, and not holding on to the past and getting with these guys, Tony and Nick, and really embracing what we have today and not really worrying about yesterday.
Yeah, I can play guitar just a little bit. I can come up with riffs on a decent rhythm on the drummer, you know.
There's a piece of advice there. Don't discount your drummer messing around with the guitar. Sometimes they come up with something.
Well, you know, I keep hearing that in these interviews on my show. I keep finding out drummers are musicians, you know.
Yeah, shot them in.
Yeah, always been the one, you know, yeah, three musicians walk in and the drummer.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm hearing a lot of that. So, absolutely, don't discount anybody that brings in a creative juice, you know.
The timing change on that song is really cool. A lot of the beats I use and stuff I create, you know, I've learned a lot of, like, Neil Peart and a bunch of other stuff, you know, drummers as I grew up, and with Matt, you know, playing and everything, the song really come together.
Scans on my face, just a blink and completely erased. The mirror tells lies, the picture portrait can no more despise.
Cast with your host, Rich Palmer, at MiamiValleyMusicCast.com.
Hey, if you're looking for ways to get more gigs, more fans, more exposure, or more CD sales, stop by the Musicians Cooler Podcast at CoolerPodcasts.com. We talk about everything from cool gadgets to marketing tips, internet resources, the music business, and more. When you send in your tip, be sure to mention your band's website to get your band in front of our global audience. The Musicians Cooler. It's where musicians come to trade advice. Subscribe at CoolerPodcast.com.
And now back to our interview with Set to Numb.
All right, Tony, you were with Sobriety Kills and Too Far Gone, and I remember both of those band names. So
I was playing with Too Far Gone, and I had about a year in between Too Far Gone and Set to Numb. I was still toying with the idea of getting something going again with a couple of my buddies in Too Far Gone, and I was also keeping my eyes open and just being open to new things. And I knew Nick from Standing Eight, and, you know, every time I went out to see good music, I usually ran into him. So I talked to him throughout that time, and I saw a post from him, and they were looking for a vocalist. And so I wanted to check it out. Didn't really have any idea ahead of time really what I was going to do going into it. Just kind of wanted to see what it was about. So the first time I met up with Matt and Nick and Jay, I just really liked what they had going on, and so we just developed from there.
You know, this brings up a very important point, and I think a lot of musicians, if they're listening to the show, need to remember, when you're out playing shows with other bands or you're going out to listen to other groups, don't burn your bridges, because there's so many opportunities to network, and you never know what's around the corner, what door's going to open. And it's really good to get to know all these other players, because something might click eventually.
Well, a guy like me who just loves local music and I go to see everybody play, I get to meet a lot of people, and I think that I've benefited, at least at the local level, in the fact that I've done that a lot. And, you know, I got to know Maddie from LSD, and I got to know Tony from Sobriety Kills. And it all came together that way because they remembered me. Well, you know, when Maddie was in LSD, I used to get up there and sing with those guys sometimes. They let me bark on the mic, and it was horrible, but it was fun. And I think that really helps, and you make a great point. Don't ever try, you know, don't burn a bridge. I mean, you never know when it's going to come back around.
A lot of times bands, I think, start competing, and there's nothing wrong with competition because that breeds a little bit better refined player. But don't compete to the point where you shut your doors.
Exactly.
I want to forget what we're in it for. For us, I think we're just out there to have a good time. We like to play with other bands, but it's not a competition.
Women.
You know,
yeah. Every show women. We play with, we try to network with other bands.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely one thing we do.
I'm in it for women.
Well, we're definitely not in it for money.
Well, I did notice on Nick's profile that he is, yes, very single, so there needs to be something there, too.
There's any ladies listening. I own my own home. I make good money. And I'm very single.
He's a really nice guy and has lots of talent. And we'll leave it at that.
Rich.
Okay, where's the name Set to Numb come from?
I actually, it's funny because it's another LSD tie-in. Dude Mounts, who used to play guitar for LSD. I was playing in a band with him for a little while. And I just came up with the name Set to Numb. I was sitting around, I was thinking of some names that were kind of... you know, I wanted to kind of stay away from, like, the metal name or whatever, and I was just looking for a cool kind of cryptic name that maybe didn't have a message or maybe didn't have a real meaning behind it but kind of sounded like it did. And when I came up with Set to Numb, everybody thought it was a drug reference. And what's funny, I don't really do any drugs. So it's kind of a state of mind, you know, Set to Numb, when the world's getting at you and you just had enough. You know, sometimes you turn that dial over to numb and you just sit back.
Let's go into the music a little bit. The listeners are going to have kind of a treat. They're going to get to hear three of the five songs that are on the EP, and hopefully they'll like it a whole bunch and order the EP. That's kind of what we're after, right?
Well, actually, if they come to a show, we've just been throwing out copies for free, so
yeah,
all you have to do is show
up. Cool. You're so cool. That is very cool. Tell me about this title, this Kung Fu Robots. This is great. I love that title, Kung Fu Robots from Outer Space.
Well, when coming up with the name for that song, I guess a lot of that was based on kind of the vibe I was getting from the song, and a lot of it was just kind of silliness. The feeling I was getting from the song is like was just really powerful, like kind of nothing can hold us back, you know, just real driving. So I was completing some of the lyrics for the song, and the image that I got in my head was kind of like, you know, these like a cartoon Saturday morning cartoon thing, you know, these big monster robot crushing a town flat kind of a thing, you know. And the name just came to my head, and I just laughed out loud. I mean, it was just really funny. I just decided to go with it, you know, and everybody else was cool with it. I mean, like I said, it was a combination of the feeling that I was getting from the song and just kind of a silly thing that I just threw out there.
When I saw the title and then I started listening to the song, it brought back some of the movies I used to watch as a kid back in the mid to late 70s when they were putting out just movie after movie after movie out of Japan based on the Godzilla theme and all that. And sometimes they had that kind of hard, you know, sound in the background while these monsters are tearing up, stomping on Tokyo. And it kind of brought that image to mind. So it worked.
Well, in that beginning riff, it's kind of Jaws-esque, but it really does. It kind of reminds you of, like, that background music for when the alien comes into picture and it's dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
You know, and it you know, it gives you that mental image.
Yeah.
Where can we catch you guys again? You got anything on the books?
Yeah, the next thing is going to be at Charlie's and Xenia. We're kind of on a little break right now, but our next show is December 9th.
It's actually been renovated. It's got a cool new stage and a cool new bar.
Now, when you guys are out, do you typically play a band, two to three band kind of show, or what are you doing there?
Yeah, we two to three bands usually.
Well, it mixes it up, gives the crowd a lot of variety.
Sure, and you know, when you scream the stuff that I do, you really can't do that for 3 hours.
You know, I wanted to comment on, I'm glad you brought it back to the vocals on that. You have a very melodic sound when you're singing, and then you can take it right over into the growl, you know, and I wondered how you could keep that stamina.
You know, it's not easy. I mean, as you know, some shows I leave and I just don't have a voice left. Can't talk the next day. I mean, you know, but I usually don't have a problem getting through the set, and I just like that contrast. You listen to some of Stain's early stuff, and it's real melodic, but then, you know, you have just a real aggressive growl that comes in, and I just like that contrast.
I think Tony's just not afraid to show his feeling through his voice, and that's what makes him, what comes out of him, great. It's feelings, and that's what singers do, you know. If they sound fake, then, you know, people know they don't like it.
Well, and another thing, too, that people ask me that all the time, you know, doesn't that hurt and things like that. Your voice is a muscle like anything else, and the more you use it and train it, you know, the more it can take that kind of abuse. And so we practice a couple times a week, and we play shows regularly, and so I've just become accustomed to it. And, you know, that's why I can get by with that. But if we only got together once a month, yeah, I'd probably seriously hurt myself.
Well, there, again, another good point for other musicians. Vocalists, yes, you do have an instrument. It's your voice, and you do need to condition it, and you do need to practice. And if you're just going out every 2 weeks and singing and you're not doing anything to warm up, you're gonna cause damage.
There's a lot to be said for warming up as a singer and building an endurance with your vocals.
This would be a good time to do my shameless plug for Entertainer's Secret Throw Spray, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
That's the spot.
And actually, Jimmy, our country singer, has used Entertainer's Secret, and it works great.
Yeah.
And you should see Rich and buy some Entertainer's Secret.
Thank you, guys. That was cool. Singers, entertainers, public speakers, teachers, anybody else that uses their voice, try Entertainer's Secret Throat Relief Spray, a soothing, moisturizing, lubricating, and protective spray. It mends your dry, sore, scratchy throat, your hoarse voice, it reduces congestion, and helps maintain comfort and vocal quality. Try it today. You can find it online at richpalmer.com/esecret or visit the link at miamivalleymusiccast.com under Music Resources.
Miami Valley Music Cast.
I have been looking forward to playing this song throughout the entire show. This is Set to Numb with Kung Fu Robots from Outer Space.
No.
Hey, anything you want to talk to me about before we close up here? Anything coming up, or you got some recording going on, or anything you're doing?
Well, we're looking to get back into the studio here pretty soon. We're actually trying to put together a show with some other guys that are recording with Aztec. I think that'd be a great show, because there's some great bands recording there, like Occam's Razor and Ecotox and some other great bands. And we just want to keep playing and keep rocking and try to do some more shows with some more bands, some more venues. And anytime you want to have us back on the music cast, we're more than happy to come back, Rich.
And I'd be glad to have them right back here on the Miami Valley Music Cast. I'm Rich Palmer. I'd like to share one more item with you today before we close the show. This is from the podcast Journey Inside My Mind. And this was sent actually through the DaytonBands.com website from the band Murmur. This fella does a podcast. He happened to stumble across the guys Murmur, and he encouraged them to get onto the PodSafe Music Network, and they did. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Johnson from Southwestern Ohio. I do a podcast called Journey Inside My Mind. You can find it at jimmpodcast.blogspot.com. And I was just searching the other day over at Podcast Alley to see, find other podcasts in the Cincinnati and Dayton area. And one of the podcasts is from a band called Murmur, who I noticed from listening to their music and searching for them on the PodSafe Music Network, they weren't there. So I sent them an email asking if I could play their music on a podcast, and also I recommended that they sign up for the PodSafe Music Network. I got an email from Tim Staley, one of the guys in the band. He says, hey, thanks for the feedback. It's good to know there are people out there, period, not to mention people that listen to our stuff and enjoy it. Thanks for the link to the PodSafe Music Network, and it looks like a great idea. We're always looking for ways to get our music out there. Likewise, we don't have any problem with you playing our songs on your podcast. Airplay is airplay. It doesn't matter if it's radio, webcast, or podcast. I checked out your podcast and it looks very cool, professional, and good taste in music, too. We're currently in the studio working on our debut album, and we'll probably be updating our podcast with some rough cuts of some of the new songs sometime in the near future. And so I looked this morning at the PodSafe Music Network, and it turns out that they've been registered over there. So go out to the PodSafe Music Network, guys, and play some of the music by a band from Dayton, Ohio, called Murmur. This is Dan Johnson. Check out my podcast at jimmpodcast.blogspot.com and make it a great day.
Thanks, Dan. Just another example of how podcasting is helping bands market themselves all over the world. If you would like to hear more from the band Murmur, check them out on the PodSafe Music Network. You can reach them at music.podshow.com. Do a search for the band Murmur. I'm Rich Palmer. That about wraps up this episode of the Miami Valley Music Cast. We featured the music of Set to Numb. Visit them online at settonumb.com or catch their MySpace site at myspace.com/settonumb. If you would like to subscribe to this show, please visit the new web address at miamivalleymusiccast.com. You can send us email at mvmusiccast@gmail.com. And if you're a band that would like to be on the show, drop me a line at mvmtalent@gmail.com. You can reach me on Skype at Safe Songs. And if you'd like to send us some voicemail, let us know what you think about the show or give us comments, you can call us direct at 888-223-5108. There's also a local number, 206-202-BAND. That's right, BAND, 2636. Again, I'm Rich Palmer. Hope you'll join us again next week for a brand new episode of the Miami Valley Music Cast.
You mean that's all there is?